We're turning this evening in the Gospel of Matthew to the chapter 25. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 25. Again, I thank the Reverend Salt for his words of welcome. It is a joy to be with you here night by night around the Word of God. And the Lord has been with us. The Lord has given help in the ministry of His Word. And we trust that for each one that has heard the Word, that it might be buried deep within hearts, might be an encouragement to God's people, to build us up in the Lord, to increase our faith in Him, and most especially for any who have been in unconverted, that the Lord might use His Word to enlighten their hearts and to bring them to that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're coming this evening to the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 25. And we're moving down the chapter to take up our reading at the verse 14. A couple of nights ago, we were looking at a parable, which we called the best known parable of all. That was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Tonight, we're coming to another parable. And here, it's one of the lesser known parables. It could be called the parable of the talents or the parable of the unprofitable servant. Let's just read the verses together, and we look to the Lord that He will bless His word to our hearts as we read it. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. We'll end there at verse 30. May the Lord be pleased to add His own blessing this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. I want to center my thoughts this evening around that final verse that we have just read together, where we read the words of the Saviour, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And I want to entitle my message this evening, "Bound for Hell," because that's what this verse speaks to us about. Bound for Hell. Let's just unite together to seek the help of the Lord in the word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we do praise and thank Thee for the gospel meeting tonight, for each one that has been gathered in, and even our Father for the singing of Thy praise, and we thank Thee too for the faithful word of testimony, and we pray that Thy blessing would continue upon our brother, and Thou wouldst be pleased, our Father, to use him in the days to come, to the glory of the Saviour's name, and to the extension of Thy kingdom. We praise Thee, our Father, tonight for Thy word, and we rejoice that Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And even as we would consider it this evening together, we pray that the light of the gospel might shine brightly forth. And for those tonight, our Father, who are still in their natural estate in the darkness of sin, bring them, we pray, to the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. We look to Thee, our Father. Our expectation is from the Lord. Visit this effort in the gospel, that it may be to the salvation of precious souls. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the parable that we have read together this evening brings before us the Master and His servants. And whenever we think about the Master, He represents for us in the parable the Lord, the one who is our Lord and Master. And of course, the servants would represent us, we who are to be in submission to our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. We are to be obedient to Him. We are to follow Him. We are to serve Him. And therefore, when we look into the parable, we're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and each one of us. Now the parable tells us that the Master was to take a journey into a far country. But before He left, He gave to each of His servants His talents. To one servant He gave 5 talents. To another servant He gave 2 talents. And to a third servant He gave 1 talent. And then the Master took his leave, and he went away. Doesn't that picture for us the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He is the one who has left this earth. And at the prospect, one day, He is coming back again, just like this Lord and Master in the parable. And whenever the Lord returns to this earth, it is going to be a day of reckoning. And that's what is spoken of here in the parable before us tonight, because each of the servants had to stand before their earthly Lord, and they had to give account. 2 of the servants were highly commended by their master, because the one who had been given 5 talents, he made 5 talents more. He had 10 talents. And the one who had 2 talents, he made 2 talents more. He had 4, and both were to receive that commendation from their master. If you look there at the verse 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You look at verse 23, the same words. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And there's encouragement tonight to each believer here, where we're seeking to serve the Lord to the best of our ability, and we all have varying abilities. But our desire surely is at the end of the day to receive the well done of God, to be able to stand before our Lord and Master Jesus Christ and they hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But tonight in the gospel, our focus is really to that third man, that third servant, the one who is labelled here in the passage, the unprofitable servant. He had been given one talent, and instead of using it, he buried it. Instead of using it, he hid it in the earth. And we could say he wasted it. And what it is speaking to us of this evening is that wasted opportunity. It represents being given opportunity with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but wasting that opportunity and spurning that opportunity to get right with God. That's the lesson we're learning from the unprofitable servant. Isn't it interesting to see that when his Lord returned, he lined up with the other servants. He was there to stand before, to give account, and really, in truth, he wasn't a true servant at all. He depicts one who had that profession, but he didn't have the possession. Like one who professes to know the Lord, but's not genuinely saved. The root of the matter is not there. They have never been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Like this unprofitable servant, they're going to be found out in that day. They're going to be found wanting. Because this third servant received a very different response from his master. And you look there at the words of our text in verse 30. It says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into wider darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." One who had been given privilege, one who had been given opportunity, but he wasted it, he spurned it, and he's cast into a place of outer darkness. Doesn't that symbolize for us this evening the soul that's bound for hell? The soul that is outside of Christ. One perhaps who has been given many gospel and spiritual privileges by hearing the gospel on many occasions and their need to get right with God, and yet they've wasted every opportunity. And then that day they're going to hear from the lips of the Lord that they have to depart from Him. They'll be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's speaking to us tonight about a Christless eternity in hell. It's a solemn thought this evening. It's a fearful thought that we speak about that place where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched, where there is outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Going to be faithful to the Lord, and faithful to His Word, and faithful to the Gospel, we have to warn of hell. We have to remind individuals that God is a God of wrath, and that we need to flee from the wrath which is to come. And therefore tonight I want us to look at this particular individual who was bound for hell. Notice with me, firstly, the character of this man. In verse 30, he's called there the unprofitable servant. And as we think about his character, well, that would describe him. He's one who was unprofitable. But if we were to go to the very heart of the matter and to look at his character, we can find in the passage that he was characterized by wickedness. I want you to see that. If you look with me at verse 26. "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant." And so wickedness is at the very core and center of this man's character. Let it not be thought for one moment that the sentence of his master was harsh and severe. and that all that this man needed was a little bit of encouragement and a touching up here and there and a little bit more effort, and oh, all could have been well with him. No, what we're seeing is at the very centre of his being there's wickedness. That's the general description and character of this particular individual. And we must realise tonight that every soul that is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is characterised by wickedness. Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 9, it tells us something about the heart of man, the natural heart of man, that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. And therefore man outside of Christ in his natural condition is characterized by wickedness. And whenever you go through the scriptures, and especially in the Old Testament, there is that contrast set forth between those who are righteous and those who are wicked. Those who belong to the Lord and those who are children of the devil. They're characterized by wickedness. And this man was described as being wicked. His wickedness, his sin is seen in his attitude to his master. At verse 26, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." He was slothful. And that word actually means he was wasteful. He was neglectful. And we're thinking of the privileges and opportunities that had been presented to him. He was slothful. Especially in regard to spiritual matters, we see that today. Those who are neglectful. The apostle said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Those who would be wasteful and slothful in spiritual things. And the word here has nothing to do with being idle. Sometimes we would think of the word slothful as one who is lazy or one who is idle. The word here doesn't really take in that meaning, because if you look at this third servant, he wasn't really idle. He was busy. He actually engaged in quite a strenuous work, because whenever he received that one talent, what did he do with it? In verse 18, it says, "But he that had received one talent, that had received one, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." I don't know if you ever go out into the garden to do any work, but if you take the spade with you and you start to dig, it's quite strenuous work. And so one who's prepared to dig in the earth is not really one who's being idle in that sense. No, they're actually engaging in a strenuous work that requires much effort. But what is he doing? He's digging in the muck and the mire and the dirt. That's what he's doing. And in that sense, doesn't he picture the sinner? And that's what they're doing in this old world. They're digging in the dirt and the filth and the mire of this old world. And they're not slothful in relation to being idle in that sense. My, they're busily engaged in the dirt and the mire and the muck of this old world. And they will spend much of their efforts pursuing after all of those worldly things. They'll busy themselves in pursuit of the worldly things, and they'll spend their energy in going after the world's pleasures, when really all they're doing is digging in the earth and digging in the mire. But when it comes to the spiritual and to the need of their soul, they're wasteful. They're neglectful and they're slothful in that sense. And so we see the character of this man coming out. We see his wickedness, and we see how that wickedness is portrayed in his attitude of being slothful. But notice as well his accusation, because that brings out something of his wickedness as well. If you look into the passage in the verse 24, the accusation he made against his Lord and Master, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man. And he accused his master here of being harsh. You're a hard man. Accused him of being unfair. Accused him even of being unjust. He's charging him with that inequality. And there are those today who would want to make a similar charge against the Lord. And they would want to say, well, you know, the Lord doesn't seem to be just. The Lord is really, well, he's very harsh when you think of how the Lord deals with individuals. We have to have some disaster happen. And everybody's very quick to say, how could a loving God allow that? And by saying that, they're actually accusing the Lord of being hard. He's a harsh God if he could allow that to happen. Think of the words in Ezekiel. Let me read them to you from Ezekiel 18. And in the verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. That's what they were accusing the Lord of in Ezekiel's day. The way of the Lord is not equal. And that's what this wicked, unprofitable servant was saying about his master. He's not being just here. He's not being equal. He's not fair. He's a hard taskmaster. And there are those who look upon the Lord like that. We have to say this evening, that's an offence to God. And no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter what happens, we look to the Lord and we say, the Lord is sovereign. And the Lord is a just God. You think of Job and all that Job was to suffer. And yet in all of what Job had to contend with, it tells us at the end of that first chapter of Job, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And all that Job had to endure, he didn't sin by charging God foolishly. But yet when we look into this parable and we think of this unprofitable servant, and by his attitude of being slothful and his accusation against his master that he's a hard taskmaster, and then you see even in verse 25 his thought of approach to his master. He said in verse 25, and I was afraid. I was afraid. He was afraid of his master. You know, the fear here was not a fear of reverence, because that's a good fear to have when we come before the Lord. But the fear here was a fear of terror. It was a slavish fear. It suggests that the master was someone who was so hard and so cruel and so unfair and so unloving, he's unapproachable. Sadly, that's how some view the Lord. And yet the Lord would say to the soul of man, fear not. In fact, he would invite each one to come. And the Lord would say, come unto me. You can approach the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the invitation that the Lord would give to each one in the gospel this evening. And so when we look very quickly at the character of this unprofitable servant, we see at the very heart of his character, there's wickedness. Wickedness. But I want you to think with me, secondly, about the condemnation of this man. And when you look there at verse 30, and we're coming now to the very heart of this text of Scripture, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a condemnation that is a just condemnation. A man who was found wanting before his master, and he's justly condemned. You can see his sentence here in these words, cast into outer darkness. many different images given to us in the Word of God to describe that place called hell, but this is one of them. It is a place of outer darkness. That's part of the future punishment for the unconverted soul. We see described here the state of the lost in eternity. They're in outer darkness. They're shut out from the one who is the light of the world and the very light of heaven. They're shut away for all eternity from the presence of the Lord. There are similar words used in the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 8, when the conversation was had there with the centurion. And in Matthew 8 and the verse 12, the Lord said, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And also in the chapter 22, when you have there the man who did not have on the wedding garment. And in verse 13, "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Cast out into outer darkness. Now, that's a fearful thought tonight. That's a solemn thought for the soul that is outside of Christ. That's the danger that is facing them. Outer darkness. You think of the plagues that came upon Egypt, and we read of them in the book of Exodus. And without turning to it tonight for the sake of time, in Exodus 10, you would find there some of the details concerning that darkness. The darkness that was to fall upon Egypt was a thick darkness. In fact, it says it was so thick it could be felt. A darkness that could be felt. And it was to last there for 3 days. And when you think of that darkness, it's interesting to compare it to the darkness that the Apostle Peter speaks of in 2 Peter 2 and the verse 4. He's describing there the condition of the fallen angels in hell. And he says that they were bound with chains of darkness. Chains of darkness. That seems a strange expression, that darkness could be chains. Chains of darkness. Matthew Poole suggests that that could be interpreted in chains under darkness. But as Exodus there would have described that darkness that came upon Egypt, and the Apostle Peter describes the darkness there of hell, we can see the thought of the chains of darkness. It's one who is bound by that darkness. And they're held under that darkness. And they cannot move from that darkness, because it is such a dense, thick darkness, it can be felt, and it's binding them. You think of the words of that little epistle of Jude. And he spoke about the blackness of darkness forever. Man, that's a terrible sentence that is going to come upon every unconverted soul. Think of the suffering that's spoken of in our text as well. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Terrible suffering. Terrible sorrow. There's torment there in those expressions. A soul that is cast out into hell is a soul that is in misery. That's the judgment of the lost. Perhaps tonight there's one gathered here who's not saved. One who's not prepared for eternity. One who is not ready. One who is not right with God. Praise God, tonight you're in the gospel meeting. And it's as if you're being given the talent, you're being given an opportunity. And we're saying to you tonight, don't waste the opportunity. Don't spurn that opportunity. Don't be neglectful of that opportunity tonight. Because one day, You will stand before our Lord and Master, and you will give account with what you have done with this talent of the gospel tonight. And oh, that you may take that gospel to heart, and that even this night you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and that you would know the cleansing power of His precious blood, and that you would be saved for all eternity. The condemnation of this man. I want you to notice with me finally and very quickly the contrast to this man. And the whole parable that we have read tonight really brings out the contrast. The contrast runs right through this parable. It's the contrast between the profitable servants and the unprofitable servant. And therefore you can see the difference that is between them. And you think there how those two profitable servants, they received that well done from their Lord. They both received the same response. Well done, good and faithful servant. My, it's the opposite to one who is wicked and slothful, isn't it? There they are, the good and faithful. And there's the wicked and the slothful. What a contrast. That's the distinction tonight between the saved and the lost. The good and the faithful. Now, they're only good because they've trusted in Christ, because naturally there's none good, no, not one. But those tonight who are at such a contrast, that on the one side there's the good and the faithful, on the other side there's the wicked and the slothful. Those that have embraced the gospel and those that have rejected the gospel. And notice their place, there's the contrast there. The unprofitable servant that we have considered, he's cast into outer darkness, and there is sorrow and there is suffering, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But the profitable servants, they're said not only well done, good and faithful servant, but their Lord said to them, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Entering into the joy of their Lord. Now, if we have thought here about the soul bound for hell, surely that speaks to us of the contrast. That's the soul bound for heaven. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The psalmist said of the Lord, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In fact, the Psalms go on to tell us that at God's right hand there's a river of pleasures. My, what a difference here. One who's in outer darkness, a place of sadness and sorrow and suffering, and one who's in that place where there's fullness of joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's not the joy of this world. The joy of this world is short-lived. But this is the joy of the Lord that goes on forevermore. We haven't time tonight, but you could go into Matthew chapter 25 and go on down the chapter and you could examine there the different contrasts that there are. Look, for example, there in verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. There you can see that similar thought being brought out. There's the contrast there. Those on the right hand of the Lord, those on the left hand of the Lord. And what is going to be said of them? Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look at verse 41. It's so different. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The contrast there. Right down to the very end of the chapter, the verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I have to ask you tonight at the close of the gospel meeting, what is it going to be for you? Will you be on the right hand of the Lord, come ye blessed of my Father? Or will you be on the left hand of the Lord, depart from me, ye cursed? Now, these are serious and solemn matters tonight. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between being cast into outer darkness and entering into the joy of the Lord. And therefore, if tonight finds you outside of Christ, we urge you again, as we have each evening, don't go away without the Saviour. Don't go away tonight with the burden upon your heart, troubled and under conviction. The Lord bringing the matter of your soul's eternity before you constantly. But oh, tonight come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has died to save, the one tonight who is ready, willing and able to save. And when you close in with God's offer of mercy, the burden will be lifted. The Lord will give you peace tonight. Peace within your heart. And you can leave the gospel meeting tonight with the joy of knowing that your sins have been forgiven. The peace in your heart of knowing that it's well with your soul. And knowing that when it comes to that point where you step from time into eternity, you'll be entering into the joy of the Lord. May God give each one tonight that peace within their heart. Amen.